Good morning, church family. And I think it would be appropriate for me to say Merry Christmas, too. You know, you don't always get that greeting everywhere you go. It's interesting, too. I was reflecting on that this last week and did a little research and background into the history of Christmas and found out that it's always been controversial. Going clear back to 3rd, 4th century, even further back than that, but the records go back quite a ways, and it's been on again and off again. People haven't always approved of it. The Puritans didn't approve of it, and there's always been debate as to, was Christ really born on Christmas? And people have done their research on that, too. And it's just, it's just an attempt to obliterate the memory of the Christ child, don't you think? And if he was born in April or born in December, I'm not sure that's as significant as the fact that we acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Son of God, came to this earth fully divine, fully God, took on human form, and was born as a little baby. And we talked about how awesome that is, and how in our minds it's mind-boggling to think of how that happened. Don't think about it too long, because you'll never figure it out, really. But the point is that it was awesome. It was incredible. And Christmas has been wrapped and rewrapped over the centuries, ever since Christ was born. And I've often thought that wouldn't it be nice if somehow we had a videotape or a record of some kind of that very first Christmas, which would have been Christ being born as a baby. That would be a wonderful thing to go back and replay it every Christmas. But the fact is that Christmas is, I believe, something that we carry in our hearts, because it's so easy for culture, it's so easy for the norms, for traditions, for the stock market, whatever. It's so easy to have Christmas distorted for us. But the scriptures tell us very clearly that the birth of the Christ child was a significant experience that took place on this earth, the same earth that we walk on, the same planet that we live on. And I think it's a beautiful thing that in spite of all the ups and downs and the attempts to wipe out the memory of Christ's birth, that it still exists 2,000 years later. I'm not sure there are too many famous people on this earth that have their birthdays celebrated 2,000 years later. Christ's child, the Son of God, we still are taken in our hearts and in our minds back to that manger over and over again, and we are reminded of what God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. We are reminded what Jesus has done for us and did for us. When we examine the diversity and the beauty and the majesty in God's universe and in this earth, we are reminded that all the wonder and the beauty in God's creation was not intended to terminate on itself. But creation and the beauty of the universe that we live in exist and is intended to point us to God's glory. It's been, unfortunately, over the 6,000-7,000 years that this planet has been spinning out here in space, humans have taken those things that God created for us to enjoy and to point to Him. We've taken those and we've worshipped them. You look at the vast array of religions around the world, and the vast majority of them have taken something that God created and they worship it. They idolize it. They set it up on a pedestal. And they call it God. When in reality, when you study the record of creation and the record in the scriptures, everything in the scriptures, including creation, points to the glory of God. And if we can somehow take our minds off of the traditions, if we can take our minds off of those things that the world tries to present us with that glorifies the birth of Christ or that glorifies God, and we can look directly into the very source, the very essence of what God is, we will discover that God is glory. His presence is glorious. We just sang a couple songs that even use the word gloria. Glory, glory. The brightness of God's glory. The scriptures tell us it fills the earth. God created everything and he said it was good and he gave it to us. He gave it to us as a gift so that we would be driven by the beauty of his creation, by the awesome and the wonder of his creation, so that we would be driven to worship him. Everything in the world, the beauty of the creation, the beauty of the universe, is like an arrow or a signpost that points to God. And yet so often we take that and we take it and we distort it and we twist it and we worship it rather than worshiping the God of creation. We worship creation. A number of months ago, I used the concept that a good thing, if it becomes an ultimate thing, can also become a bad thing. Anything that we humans take, it seems at some point in time, eventually gets distorted. Eventually gets turned and twisted, and we begin to take glory for ourselves rather than pointing to the one who made it possible. And so we, at this time of year, I would challenge us to not get caught up too much in all of the hype of Christmas, but to be caught up in the beauty and the glory of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came and who made it possible for us someday, I hope soon, to make it possible for us to spend eternity with God in his presence, in the beauty and the glory of his presence. Maybe let me bring it maybe home a little bit closer to us. When you dive into a chocolate fudge sundae, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Good. Got to have another one. Maybe tomorrow or next week. Have you ever stopped to think of what goes into that chocolate fudge sundae? Now, a lot of people tell you it's not good for you, especially at my age. Like, my wife always, nope, you can't have one, but I can. She loves chocolate fudge sundaes. She can have them, but I can't anymore. I have to sit and watch there and drool like a dog, you know. But I had my share of them, hence why I can't have them anymore. But the beauty is that everything that is in that hot chocolate fudge sundae, It began as something good. It began as a blessing from God. And of course, man takes it and we cook it and we bake it and we mix it and we add all kinds of preservatives in it. We do all these other things and we make it palatable and we enjoy it and we advertise it and we have a good time with it, don't we? But every time you eat a hot fudge sundae or whatever your thing is, I don't know, maybe you like a bag of potato chips. That's my favorite. Can't have those either. But what I'm saying and what God's Word is saying is that anytime something is joyful, anytime that something is good, we need to at some point go back to the very essence, the very source of that goodness, and that goodness is God. Okay? I know we don't think like that, you know? I mean, honestly, come on. When was the last time you bit into a hot fudge sundae and said, "Thank the Lord"? You know, 31 flavors would become a church, wouldn't it? It'd be people raising their hands and thanking the Lord all the time. You know, they'd have to put crosses and arches on their windows, you know, and stained glass windows. The fact of the matter is that would be silly, wouldn't it? But the fact is that all goodness, all good things come from God. And those good things glorify God. And we need to be conscious and aware of that. How about when you just feel the warmth? Now, Charlotte, right? This is little Charlotte. Some of you, she's not really big, but she loves the music. She sits here on the front row and she jumps up and down, smiles so big to the worship team. She loves praising God. Just plain and simple. The music touches her. She senses the glory of God. And if she could talk, she would tell us. She does talk. But see, I told you. There we go. She loves worshiping God. And Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does that say about worshiping? What does that say about us giving glory to God? It says that we need to simplify the package that we place God in. We need to simplify the essence of Christmas. It's become so complex. You know, buying a gift, the right gift for that special person, and then finding out a few years later that they really didn't like it. That's a real bummer, isn't it? My wife just had that happen to her. It's like, well, they could have at least told me. 3 years later, I don't really like that. Okay, so what do I buy this year, you see? It's hard, isn't it? It's difficult to know exactly what to do to make somebody happy or to give them just that right gift, that special gift that brings a smile to their face and joy to their heart and expressions of exuberance and wonder. God gave His very, very best. He took the very best gift of the universe, His only begotten Son. And you know, He could have wrapped that gift in so many different ways. He could have wrapped that gift in kingly robes and put a gold crown on His head. He could have wrapped Him in duct tape. He could have wrapped His Son in so many different ways. He could have advertised for weeks and months beforehand that He was coming. And He could have made it a huge splash. I mean, God can do anything, let's face it. All right? He could have written it in the sky. You know, we've seen these every so often when I'm down at the beach in the summer. You see these sky writers, you know, they'll write, they'll advertise something, or they'll, some guy will say, you know, I love Susie, will you marry me? I saw one of those a couple of years ago, Newport Beach. God could have done that. He could have done a lot more than that. But He took his son, Jesus Christ, and he was born in a manger. And we have in our mind's eye this manger and a nice warm glow, and Mary's all dressed in beautiful white, and Joseph has his best on, you know, and the shepherds all come, you know, and they're decently dressed, and the wise men are dressed in gold and silver and all these beautiful kingly robes. And we sort of get this funny idea that that's what it was really like. But I can assure you, I've seen mangers in third world countries, and they're nothing like that. Absolutely nothing. I mean, they smell terrible. They are really damp, wet, moldy, smelly. I mean, come on, folks. We need to be real. Jesus was born below, in an environment that was below the poverty level. He wasn't even born in a poor person's home on street D or whatever. He was born in the muckiest, ugliest, nastiest place that you can imagine. But what's interesting to me is that He chose to announce the coming of His Son as a babe. Not to the king, not to the rulers, not to even the religious people, but He announced it to shepherds. You need to understand a little bit about this. In Jesus' time, the shepherd, well, they had kind of like a caste system in society. If you go to India, they still practice some of that. It's kind of going away, but it still exists in some countries, the caste system. And the shepherds were the lowest. The only thing lower would be probably somebody with leprosy, who were literally chased off, you know, abandoned and thrown away and chased away from you know, society. But the shepherd, the job the shepherd had was considered to be so lowly and so dirty and so disgusting that they were unclean in every way. And yet, God came and announced the coming of His Messiah, the coming of His Son, to the shepherds on the hillside. Amazing. Imagine yourself sitting out there. It's a cold night. You're trying to keep warm around a little fire. You're tired. You've been chasing, you know, lambs all day. You know, and if you've been around sheep, they're really dumb. Just really dumb. And you're tired and you're worn out. And you're laying there by the fire trying to keep warm. And you're laying on your back and you're looking up into the beauty of the universe, the stars, and the moon is coming up over the hillside, and you hear the coyotes in the distance, you know, barking and howling, and you're just about ready to drift off to sleep, and all of a sudden there's this huge flash of light. I mean, it just literally blinds you, and you have to cover your eyes for a moment just to recover from the flash of light. And then there before you stands an angel. Anybody ever seen an angel? Okay, so how did they know this was an angel? Well, it's recorded. They said an angel stood before them and announced the coming of the Messiah. And He's going to be born tonight in Bethlehem, in a manger. Excuse me. And so, imagine being one of those shepherds, sitting there on the hillside, and here's this angel talking to you. And they're punching each other and going to, rubbing their eyes and saying, "Did you see that? Is that for real? I mean, was that really an angel? Or, are we, you know, what did we have for supper? I mean, you know, maybe somebody laced our food with something. No, that was real. It was a real angel. Pinch yourself. Yes, that's an angel. That was an angel of God. Why would an angel of God come to us? We're the downtrodden. We're the worthless. We're the no goods. We're the minority. Or why would an angel do that? This must be important. Something's going on. And we've been told to go look for this Messiah, His promised Son of God." Jump over to the other side. This angel, I'm going to assume, was Gabriel. He's the head honcho in heaven. Well, after the Trinity, all right? The place that Lucifer had at one time. And he's come and he's announced now. He's so excited. He can hardly contain himself. And he's just out there just praising God and saying, you know, finally the Messiah has come. There's hope for humanity and the world's going to change. And he's almost done with his speech, and all of a sudden this huge choir gathers behind him and starts singing. And he goes, "Guys, I'm not done yet." No, they're not going to stop either. They're singing. They're praising the God in heaven. They are so full of joy and excitement. Now, of course, you got to understand that group of angels, and we have no idea how many. It says a company. What's a company? You know, when I have company in my home, it doesn't usually exceed more than about a dozen people because my home won't contain it. But a company in the universe has got to be a massive group of angels, and they're all singing and they are so excited. And you got to understand, they're probably the group that was the star that the wise men followed. Their presence was so bright and so glorious that they led the wise men. We have no idea really how long the wise men were on this trek. But if they came from the east, some say, well, from Persia, some say even from China, the east and Asia. We don't know where they came from. It doesn't say where they came from. It just says they came from the east. And these guys had traveled maybe for years. Those angels couldn't contain themselves. They are so excited. Finally, they can let it all out. And they are singing at the top of their lungs. It must have been awesome. It must have been for those poor wise men sitting there going, whoa, a free concert from heaven, proclaiming the glory of God. Wow. Don't you wish you could have been there? And this is that beautiful gift that God wrapped. You ever, well, of course you've wrapped a gift. Guys, you know, unless you're obsessive compulsive, aren't quite as good as women are in wrapping. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if it has something to do with changing diapers. No, I don't think it has that. But I've done wrapping before, and I think I'm pretty good at it. But one year I saved up my money, and I bought my wife a purse that she always wanted. And this purse, and they tell me the purses that come in a cloth bag with the logo on the front, those are worth more than the ones you just buy at Target or, you know, some of those other places. And So I did. I got one that had a cloth bag with the logo on it, Brighton on the front. I got it on sale. But I tried to figure out, how do you wrap a purse? You know? It wasn't easy with duct tape. You're right. Yeah. So here was the purse, and it was in a cloth bag, so it was covered with a cloth bag. And then you have to wrap it in some kind of paper so that it doesn't, like the handles don't pop out and everything. You kind of wrap it up and you use some tape and then you put it inside a box that's just the right size. Because you don't want, my wife has this thing of checking everything out. She said every year when she was a kid, she knew what she was going to get that year. She finally confessed that to her mother probably when she was in her 40s. She finally told her mom, every year I would look for the gifts and I would find them, or I could tell by listening to them. And she's pretty good at that. So I've tried to fool her. So I put this purse in a big box, much bigger than a purse. So I had to stuff it with all kinds of paper, you know, to make it so it wouldn't rattle, wouldn't make any noise. And so it was a little heavier, a little bigger than the purse was. And I know she never saw it because I went straight from buying it to wrapping it. And then you get this box. And yes, I did use duct tape to hold the box shut. And then I had to wrap this thing, and I think I did pretty good. You know, put a nice pink bow there. Pink for Christmas? Yeah, she likes pink. Pink bow. And a card and, you know, all the good stuff that you put on a package. And I put it under the tree. And I remember catching her a couple times looking at it and kind of poking it, squeezing it. No. I said, you're never going to guess. You're just not going to guess what it is. And she went through a list of things of what she thought it was, but she didn't come close. You see, God, from the very beginning, promised Adam and Eve, when they turned against Him and chose to follow their own way, He promised them that He would send a special package. And that package would give them eternal life, hope of eternal life. That package was Jesus Christ. And for thousands of years, women looked at their babies and said, is this the Messiah? Is this the promised Son of God? And they, many women, I believe, thought they had the Messiah, just as many women today think that their children are just the greatest thing. Until they turn 2 or 16, one or the other. Then the devil comes out in them. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is that God had a very special package. He packaged His Son. And He announced His coming. And it says He would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. So He was wrapped too. He was wrapped in a cloth. By the way, those of you that are moms know that babies love to be wrapped in nice, tight little blankets when they're little. I learned that with my own boys because when you wrap them, they feel secure. They feel like they're still in the womb. So you want to make sure they're nice, wrapped up nice and tight. They like to be wrapped. And Jesus was born in a manger. All the Pharisees, all the Sadducees, all the people that knew it all the historians, everybody hadn't a clue what was in that package. Not a clue. They studied, they had theories, they had theology, they had philosophies, they had all these ideas of how Jesus, the Son of God, was going to come to this earth. But when he came, they hadn't a clue. Not a clue. They thought they knew, but they didn't. And so Jesus had to go, or rather God had to go to people who were listening. Simply listening. You see? The wise men of from the east were listening and watching and were ready to follow the star. The shepherds on the hillsides, their lives were in such sad condition that they were willing to listen, and they listened and they followed and they went and they saw the Messiah there in the manger because they were listening. God has made it possible for us to hear His voice speaking to us. Just as the shepherds heard the voice of the angel, just as the wise men saw with their eyes that star that led them to the Son of God and His little manger there in Bethlehem, God has made it possible for us to hear, through the power of the Holy Spirit, His calling us to worship, to glorify Him. When we align ourselves and our lives in harmony with God's holiness and His glory, then peace on earth, shalom on earth, happens. Doesn't matter if you're in a dirty little manger. It doesn't matter what condition your life is in. It doesn't matter how caught up and stuck you are in the culture and in the excitement of materialistic Christmas. If you turn and follow the star, if you stop and you listen to the Holy Spirit, if you listen to God speaking to your heart, that same Jesus that came to this earth so that you can have eternal life, that same little babe that was born in a manger, that gift that God unwrapped for humanity can change your life. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace to your heart. He can bring hope to your life. But first of all, you need to kneel by that manger and accept Him. Accept Him as your Savior. Accept Him as the Son of God. And accept the peace that can come into your life when He becomes the Christ, the Lord of your life. My prayer today is that we will enjoy this time of year, that we will remember the birth of Christ, that we will give glory to God for the salvation that is realized in the Christ child. We will enjoy our families, our friends, the fellowship with others. And as we do that, our hearts will be warmed in knowing that all have salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Son. Jesus, we thank You for Your willingness to come to this earth as a babe. Our hearts are full of gratitude and praise and thanksgiving. We cannot express with words how we feel. During this time of year, we pray that Your presence will rest upon our lives, our families, our nation, upon this earth. May there truly be moments here and there in our busy lives where we will indeed feel the peace, the shalom that your salvation brings. Bless each and every one of us as we go from this place. May shalom go with us, we pray in your name. Amen.